tonight, Brother Jared Norris, Pleasant Grove Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Brother Jared Norris will preach to us tonight from the topic, the saving church in an unsaved world. Brother Jared, let us hear about that.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. God bless you tonight. Thank you for this great opportunity. I want to say thanks to Brother Stroud, Brother Plotner, and Brother Wiggins, who work harmoniously with you to do this great broadcast that many of us have shared in the past. And certainly we know that this is a great tool for reaching lost souls. And I trust tonight that my message will radiate throughout this listening audience, and, you know, get your pen and paper and take note of what some of the things that we will be discussing tonight. Let me share with you, first of all, that we believe that the church is the saved. We also believe that God has made a way for every man to be saved out of his sin. I will share with you some of this information with us tonight. And if you have any reason to contact me, you certainly can. See Brother Brooks, he'll certainly give you my number, whatever is needful, so that we can make sure that you understand the gospel plainly. Our text comes Matthew 16:13 through verse number 20. For time's sake, I'm going to cut it short and ask you to read it. You remember that the Bible said Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked, when he came there, some were asking, Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He had various answers. What the part I want to get to, Peter answered, he said, Jesus says in verse 17, "Blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you also that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." I'm just establishing the church right now, so we understand what church we are talking about. But let me tell you about this saving church in an unsaved world. In the beginning, man was without sin. And man is a created being, a God-made being, and one who bears the image of deity. But listen to the sweet singer of Israel in Psalm 103. He says, "Know ye that Jehovah, he is God. It is he that has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Solomon, the wisest of the ages, declared in Ecclesiastes 7:29, "Behold, this only have I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." Man is not a creature who has constantly gained ground, who gradually changes, have developing from a very simple form to his present complexities of human body and mind. Man was made from the moment of his earthly existence. And there is not that first shred of truth in the so-called stage of evolutionary development, from the very simplest to the wholly complex, and as he developed and matured to the inbred sin of his nature, became self-evident. Now, Paul did not believe the foolishness that I just said of such unintelligent nonsense. But listen to him as he affirmed, "We are the offspring, he affirmed that we are the offspring of deity." You remember in Acts 17:27-29, on Mars Hill in Athens, and while he was on his second missionary journey, "They that should see him," he said, "seek after him and find him, though he's not far from each of us. For in him," he says, "we live and move and have our very being, as certain even of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring, being then the offspring of God. We ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold and silver or stone, graven by art and devices of man." Man was created a full being. He was created a rational, intelligent being. He was created as a being of free moral agency. He was created a perfect being. No sin or stain marred the first man and woman, and they came from the creative hand of Jehovah God. Now, this is man's portion at the beginning, and not sinner by inheritance. As a matter of fact, the Bible leaves no doubt about the identity of man prior to his tragic fall from bliss in Eden. The Bible also pictures what man became. He was not a created sinner. He did not inherit sin from God, the Creator and the Father of our being. Man became a sinner the same way that all of his descendants have become sinners. That is, by personally transgressing God's law of the Almighty God. But listen to me tonight. When Jehovah God confronted Adam and Eve in Eden, he did not accuse them of something they had inherited. He accused them of something they had done. And when the sin of Cain was brought home to him, recorded in the fourth chapter of Genesis, Jehovah God did not accuse the firstborn of Adam and Eve of having inherited his sin from his parents. The sin of Cain did not consist of having offered the wrong sacrifice and the cruel slaying of his innocent brother, Abel, because he inherited such evil. My brothers and sisters and listening audience tonight, every human being on this earth since Adam and Eve came into the world as an infant without sin, free from sin, pure and innocent of sin. And if the world today had no population except babies, there would be no sin. Babies are not capable of sin. Sin is transgression. And the Bible says in 1 John 3 and 4 and 2 John 9, surely everyone must admit that an infant is not a transgressor. And no infant is an unbeliever or believer. Only by reason of time, maturity, and accountability does one become a sinner. And one become a sinner by choice and not by birth. But look at man being a sinner by choice. Let's visit that for a moment. The prophet of God declared that the son shall not bear the iniquities of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquities of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him in Ezekiel 18 and 20. And before anyone can appreciate God's plan of mercy and redemption, he must be impressed with the fact that he is a sinner. Do you know how many chapters there are in the Bible? About 1,189, but only two chapters in Genesis, that is Genesis 1 and 2, treat man as being of sinless quality. The remainder of the Bible chapters concern man, the sinner, and sin separates man from God. Sin destroyed. The leprosy of sin has settled upon all responsible people of every race. The only responsible person who ever treated Jehovah's green footstool as a sinless person was our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all the rest of the responsible people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And let me tell you, as I keep saying, sin separates. The Bible teaches that sin separates man from his heavenly maker. The prophet Isaiah declared in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ears heavy that it cannot hear. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sin have hid his face from you so that he will not hear you. Sin is terrible in your life. And before sin in Eden, God and the human couple were united, but subsequent to sin, there was a barrier erected between the perfect Jehovah and sinful man, and that barrier was sin. Sin always separates the sinner from the perfection of purity and the infinite God, and it still does. It always will. And one of the awful attributes of eternal Gehenna hell would be the fact that the condemned and sinful population will be separated forever from God, Jesus and the Spirit, and also the redeemed. But there is a need for reconciliation tonight. Reconcile to what then, Nari? Well, reconcile in one body. And since man has become separated from God by reason of his own sin, he must become reconciled unto God or be forever lost. The Apostle Paul affirmed that alienated man must become reconciled to God in order to become a new creature in Christ. And that is what he taught in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. He said, be ye reconciled to God, the Apostle said. All have sinned. Is there any doubt that all mankind have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Not at the least. To those who deny their sin, the Apostle John has a message for you in 1 John 1, 8 through 10. Hear him tonight. He says, I want you to know, are you listening? He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. As a matter of fact, when a man says that he has not sinned, he's guilty of sin already, right then. At that moment when he affirmed that he has not sinned, he is a sinner and the truth is not in him. But Lord, thank you. Have mercy tonight. The saving church is right on the scene. The church of Jesus Christ and salvation from sin are inseparable. In the very beginning, it was God's eternal purpose that the church of our Lord should be established with a distinct mission, and that was to preach the gospel to save the lost. But look at the eternality of God and the eternality of God's purpose relating to the church and the unsearchable riches of Christ are expressed by the Holy Spirit through the apostle when he declared that to the intent that now unto the principalities and power in heavenly places might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 3, 8 through verse number 11. But the saving church tonight, church, is remarkable because the Bible teaches that there is one church that belongs to Jesus in Matthew 16, 16 through 18, and that there is only one body in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4. The Bible also teaches that the body is the church in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Well, preacher, what does it mean? That means there is just one church. In addition, we also read in Ephesians 5, 23, that Jesus is the Savior of the body. He is not the Savior of anything else but the body, so he is the Savior of the church and only the church. Now, when we apply the principle that I've taught from above, we can understand that Jesus is the Savior of the church, his church, the church that belongs to him, the church of Christ. He is not going to save anyone who's not a member of his church as only the saved are added to his church, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47. So to reaffirm plainly, the saved are members of the church, and the church is made up of saved people. No one outside the church is going to be saved. That is why it is the saving church in this unsaved world. World leaders that have not obeyed the gospel of Christ are unsaved. Men going to the moon, reaching for heaven, won't make it that way. They're unsaved. Look at the turmoil in our world, even today. Wars and rumors of wars all around us. All of us, Democrats, Republicans, red, yellow, black or white, policemen, judges, governors, the list goes on and on. We are in an unsaved world. But listen, don't let that scare you tonight, because there is some hope. There is some hope tonight for every one of us. The gospel and the lost, if we understand what Jesus has planned for our lives, we'll be more appreciative, and we would look at this dread-looking awful world and that we're in is something we can't get out of. The wisdom of God relative to the saving the lost soul, the preaching of the gospel of Christ in the church of our Lord are inseparable. The apostle declared that God's grace that he has been given the privilege of responsibility to preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so the wisdom of God dictated the preaching of the gospel to the church of Christ. The apostle Paul wrote, you remember in 1 Corinthians 1:21, for seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God. It was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, God has not changed his plan about preaching the gospel to save the lost. The last recorded word of our Lord, just before his return to God in heaven, they related to man's salvation from sin were, go ye into all the world and do what, preacher? Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. The apostle Paul unmistakably declared his concerns about the unsaved when he said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God." And in verse 23, he concludes, "We preach Christ crucified." He even charged Timothy about the responsibility to reach the unsaved, leaving no doubt about the necessity of faithful proclamation of the word. But listen at him in 2 Timothy 4:2-4. "Preach the word," he said, "be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For time will come, and I believe time is here, that men will not endure sound doctrine." In the New Testament time, sound doctrine, the gospel of Christ, was and is the keynote word relating to man's salvation from sin. In times of inspiration and not man's speculation, in our world today, we are faced with a modern false concept of reaching the unsaved world, which is in conflict with God's divine order. Now, there are some that call sound doctrine preachers and preaching old-fashioned. They're doing a do-over from pulpit to stages. They say too much Bible preaching and not enough common sense preaching. But what a contrast by the ways and means of reaching the unbelief by what Paul stated in Romans 1:16. He declared, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And so the gospel tonight, church listeners and the church, the gospel of Christ was the power to save, and it still is. It saved the unsaved in the New Testament time, and it still is the power of God to save the unsaved in our world tonight. And what we see in our world today are men and women that are not called by God, not called by the gospel, trying to sell us a bill of goods that cannot be found in any print of God's holy word. They do not hesitate to tell us that they do not intend to preach the word, the sound doctrine of Jesus Christ. These perverters of God's way have resorted to ear-tickling, funny book, soap opera appeal, or just saying the so-called sinner's prayer. That's found nowhere in God's holy writ. They want to wear big crosses around their neck, add front-runner titles to their name, dance and clap loud for no doctrine. Yes, church, tonight, no doubt about it, in many areas of religion today, it is a soft sale of soft soap versus sound doctrine. What would you rather have? I would rather have the word of God that's sound in my life, that I can understand and tell somebody else about this saving Savior and this saving church. I hear folk all the time say, "Why don't they stop preaching so much doctrine and preach on love? More folk will listen." Well, really? You really want an answer? Let me share something with you. We need to listen and meditate on what John tells us in 1 John 5:2-3. John says, "Hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do his commandments." Do his commandments. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." I believe God loves us, and I believe he loves what we're doing in declaring the gospel to men that are lost. And while I'm coming to a conclusion, the church and salvation was inseparable. And let me make this point and extend the invitation. I presume that if God had so desired, man might be saved from his sin without involvement of the church. I suppose that if God's wisdom had so dictated, man might just believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then as a believer only, go on his individual way and rejoice in his personal relationship with the Lord, just him and Jesus. Now that, my friend, is a gross mistake. God's wisdom, purpose, and action are very much contrary. The church is the saved to save the unsaved. If the church of our Lord is not the saved, then the blood of Christ does not save. The Bible plainly and mistakenly declares that those who are saved by the blood of Christ are they who are members of the church of Christ. Now, this is what God says in Acts 20:28. "Take heed unto yourself, to all the flock of which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord, which he has purchased with his own blood. So to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ is to be a member of the Lord's church. To be a member of the Lord's church is to have been saved by the blood of Christ. The unsaved, the church, and the blood of Christ are inseparable. One may as well talk about the unsaved being saved without the blood of Christ as talk about the unsaved being saved apart from the Lord's church. So the church is the saved, saved by the blood of Christ. The church, the blood of Christ, and remission of sin are inseparable. The church, the unsaved, and forgiveness. The church, the unsaved, and forgiveness of sin are three in one that cannot be separated. Do you see tonight, church, by having this saved church in an unsaved world? Just look around you if you don't believe me. Every day you turn on the television, every day you turn on the news, bad news. Every time you go out of your home, you have to look around before you even get in your automobile. Bad news. I want you to know tonight that there is salvation that can be found, and it's through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're listening tonight, have you heard the gospel tonight that will impregnate your heart and mind to have you to do some action toward your soul that's lost? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. And you have to believe the Bible. You have to believe the Bible. The Hebrew writer says without faith it's impossible to believe God. Repent of your sin. Luke 13:3-5. I tell you nay, unless except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Confess that Christ Jesus is God's son by with your mouth. Confessing that Jesus Christ is God's son. Romans 10:9-10. And then being desirous of being baptized, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. And the main thing about it is, according to Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death and receive that crown of life that God has prepared for every one of us. I pray tonight that my message will radiate and penetrate the hearts of some lost soul, that he will inquire what he must do in order to be saved. You can contact Brother Brooks if you need to contact me. I don't have a problem with finding you somewhere to go in order, or even myself coming to you if you're locally or in my catchment and declaring to you the word of God where you can be saved. God bless you and thank you for listening tonight.